Ready? This is an oral history interview on the 26th of June 2013 with James Sherwood and
Dr. Martin Bolton.
So, Dr. Bolton, let's start. Why did you first go into teaching? What led you into teaching?
I originally started work with Arthur Andersen, doing some management consultancy work. And I suppose the key reason was I was bored. I found the people there rather dull. And after coming out of university full of academics, didn't feel it was going to really offer me the sort of stimulating career I wanted. So that was really the kind of key change point.
And did you start, where did you teach before Westminster?
I taught at Sherburn School in Dorset, which is a boys' boarding school. And I coached quite a bit of rugby there and was resident in a house. So,
what led you to Westminster?
I've quite fancied going to somewhere a bit more academic than where I was. And certainly at the time, Westminster, as still is, was seen as sort of being the top academic school. So I thought, come here. Of course, it's a non-rugby playing school. So I thought I'd come for a few years, get a bit of academic credibility, and then move back to somewhere where I could continue my passions for rugby.
So what happened?
I quite enjoyed it here. And so some 12 years later, I'm actually leaving now, but yeah, it's 12 years, a little bit longer than I'd thought.
Yeah. So how long were you at the school before you were appointed housemaster?
I was 4 years teaching physics. Mm-hmm. And then appointed, in fact, Tristram Jones Parry's final year was appointed to housemaster of Dryden's.
And, you know, it's quite a quick promotion up to housemaster, right? Only, you know, quite soon into the school, quite quickly into your teaching career,
yeah,
up to housemaster.
I think the fact that I taught another school, I'd also had experience in universities and in industry, probably meant that was more likely to be a shorter period.
Did you enjoy being a day housemaster?
It was said to me when I started housemastering, it would be the most enjoyable job that you do in your teaching career. It was certainly really enjoyable. I've yet to see if it's the most enjoyable since I haven't got to the end of my career yet. But it was fabulous, yeah. I mean, really, it's the chance you really get to know some pupils and maybe have small influence in how their lives turn out. So, yeah, really rewarding.
Did you mind giving up the teaching more? Did you mind giving up more of the teaching side of it to take over the pastoral sort of thing?
I really love the classroom, and so it's always been a bit of a wrench every time my timetable's reduced. There are bits of it I don't miss, so the big piles of marking at the end of a week, it's quite nice not to have quite such a large marking load. But yeah, I do miss the classroom, and certainly I will always continue to teach in some capacity. But I mean, of course, that was the reason I came into the job. But I think in terms of new challenges, having a job that evolves and changes, that's probably inevitable if you want that change.
How did your pupils here compare to your pupils at Sherborne? What do you think defines a Westminster pupil?
Certainly much more demanding. They were billed to me as being very impolite. And I suppose the example I'd give is if a pupil at Sherborne asked a question, they'd all quietly put their hands up and wait for you to call upon them. As I got to Westminster in my first lesson, and it's the sort of place where if you make a mistake on the board, which occasionally happens, someone will shout, oi, and point out your error. I think it'd be wrong to say that they're rude, but they're certainly much more challenging academically. I think you have to be much more on top of your subject here. But one of the things that's a real joy is the fact that you are often asked questions that you don't know the answer to. Now, quite often you'll be able to go and find out and come back and give the answer to that. That was good, actually. I mean, it's certainly the case here. There are pupils who are going to be brighter than you as a teacher, but you generally have a lot more knowledge than them. So you're always playing that balance off.
And so after you became housemaster, you then got appointed undermaster. And how, even further reducing your teaching time. And how has working with senior management been relative to your job as a housemaster and your interaction with pupils?
Yeah, I found it really fun, actually. Dr. Spur, the current headmaster, has been a real joy to work with. He runs an incredibly tight ship, great example of how to headmaster. And so I've seen that as being quite an apprenticeship, actually. And it has its moments that are less fun. But on the whole, working with the team I've been working with has been a real pleasure.
Do you feel that your persona with the pupils has changed since you've taken on a senior management position? You know, particularly the pupils that you knew as a housemaster.
I think as with all of teaching, you have to do the job as yourself. It was once said that you're performing, but I think actually you need to just use your own character. And so in some senses that didn't change. I don't think the way that I behaved with pupils and towards pupils would have changed. I think their perception of you does change either, especially involved in the discipline role. And so I think that inevitably makes a change of the way pupils interact. But probably that's more the case of the younger pupils who hadn't previously known you.
So. Do you think that negatively impacts your teaching if you ever get round to teaching them and they have this preconception of you as being some scary disciplinarian?
I suspect it makes it a little bit easier because they listen to your every word and don't play up in your lessons. So I think probably for most teachers, as you get older, actually that side of things gets much easier.
So you're moving on to Manchester Grammar School to be head.
That's right.
So how have the skills that you've acquired here as a teacher and interactions with the pupils going to help you in your new career?
That's quite an interesting question. I suspect, Manchester Grammar School is a very academic school as well, so I suspect a lot of the teaching side of it here as an apprenticeship in the sense of teaching bright children will be very helpful. They're quite different schools, so I've yet to find out quite how it's prepared me. Let's hope it's prepared me well.
You're going to enjoy getting back on the rugby field?
Certainly. Whether I'll be coaching. They've got some fairly decent coaches up there, so I'm not sure they'll necessarily want the headmaster hanging around telling them how to do it. But I'm certainly looking forward to going and watching some games.
So how much of a part has sport played in your life at Westminster and other extracurriculars?
When I got here, decided that climbing would be a sport I'd take up. It's something I'd done in my youth quite a lot. Climbing at that time was a station with about 12 pupils in. And so I took that on and really tried to raise its profile. That's been further taken on by other people and now one of the most popular sports with some 50 pupils involved. And we've now got our own climbing wall, trips all over the world. So that's been really fun. I've always been involved in mountaineering, and so I've been able to take a number of trips to various parts of the world to walk in the hills or climb as well. So that's all been really enjoyable. And in some ways, it's one of the perks of coming into teaching is that you can explore your own passions as long as you can get a few pupils to come along with you and try and share something of the things that you enjoy.
Do you think the extent to which you've been able to do that here is unique to the school, or do you think you're going to be able to continue to run as many trips as you've been able to run at future schools?
I think as a head, there'll be less. I think as the school itself will do similar. I think most independent schools now have very good extracurricular programmes. Manchester Grammar School has a very long tradition of expeditioning, and so I shall look forward to attending a few of those in my time. I was a pupil there, so that's really where my passion for the mountains came from. So it'll be quite nice to go back and see how things have changed, but certainly to make sure that stays at the fore there.
How do you think Westminster's changed since you've been here as a teacher?
I think it's a more civilised place than the school I came to 12 years ago. I think the pupils are generally more polite. But I think just as interesting and academic, just as challenging in the classroom. But I think it's a nicer place to teach in my experience.
How much of that do you attribute to the headmasters? And how much do you attribute to the general teaching staff and the pupils or the governors? Or where do you think the driving force in change at a school comes from?
Difficult to say. I mean, inevitably headmasters set the tone. So that of course has an important part to play. But there'll be societal changes as well. So the intake of pupils, where they're from, how their parents are, I think will also have an effect.
How do you think the intake of pupils has changed since you've been here? Do you think the school's become more international?
Westminster, I think, has always been reflective of London society. So there are lots of pupils whose parents would have come from overseas. But I think it's the the case that it's just reflective of London. I don't think that's changed particularly in the time I've been here. I mean, it is a wonderful cosmopolitan school. I think the number of pupils with parents who live overseas has probably stayed about constant, but it's always been a really interesting mix of pupils.
How do you think science teaching and the role of science in the school has changed since you've been here?
I mean, the science has always been very strong here. One of the things that I was most pleased with when I arrived was going into the common room in the Hook at break times, and the discussion would be very focused on some quite advanced science and a real interest in crossing the boundaries of the subjects that are being taught here. There's clearly been a shift towards the sciences in the last few years that's been happening not just at Westminster but across the board. So the numbers are probably seeing a slight increase and something we need to adapt to. But I think it'd be wrong to think that science has ever not been popular here. There's always been a very strong science side.
Why do you think there's been that shift more recently on a general scale?
Well, clearly government influence. So Michael Gove, Secretary of State for Education, has very much been pushing what was called the STEM subjects. So that I think has nationally seen a move. Accompanied by Russell Group universities saying, talking about subjects which will lead to getting places there. So I think it's probably just generally seen that sciences leads to certain outcomes. I think it's perhaps a bit misguided if people are only doing it for that reason. I genuinely believe that you should study, certainly as A-levels and your degree, what your passion is and not purely doing it for utilitarian reasons.
Have you enjoyed working with the Common Room in your time here? And has your reputation amongst the Common Room changed since you took over as Undermaster and Deputy Head?
You'll have to ask them, really, if you want to find out
how do you feel that
reputation's changed.
Do you feel that your relationship with the Common Room has changed since you've taken over?
Yeah, I mean, I've really enjoyed working with my colleagues. It's a fascinating place. You can walk into the Common Room. If there's a question you have about virtually anything academically, there's somebody you can go and talk to. And there are certainly, you know, a few members of the Common Room over the years that I've got to know very well and been had real academic interests with. But the fact that there's Lermontov, who wrote A Hero of Our Time, my favourite book, one of the translators of that into what I think is the finest English edition, is in the Common Room, so I can always just go and have a chat with him about that. There have been some really interesting conversations I've had. How has my reputation changed with the Common Room? I hope not much. I hope they still see me as the same person I was when I arrived, perhaps a little more mature. But
What are you going to take, if you had to take one thing, what's your your token memory from Westminster going to be?
Oh, gosh. I think inevitably it has to be the experience in the classroom, particularly teaching some very bright remove sets is really rewarding.
What in particular is rewarding about it? Why do you feel that the remover, or why?
Well, I mean, again, it's coming back to that idea that there are some very clever people in the classroom who are going to see the real root of the subject that you're teaching, and when they ask the question that you think, gosh, that's the question I'd like them to have asked if I'd had my dream class in front of me, and frequently that happens. They're challenging. They want to learn. I think you could probably characterise this school as one where students will often ask you whether something's on the syllabus. I think the thing that's different about this school is they'll be disappointed if it is.
So, if you could change your time at Westminster, would you do anything differently, or are you happy with your 12 years here?
No, I think it's worked out incredibly well for me. I've enjoyed pretty much every moment. I don't think there's anything I'd change, actually.
Has it ever been boring really at all? Have you ever found your time here boring?
Boring, no.
No?
Definitely not.
Quiet?
It's had its quiet moments, but certainly not as Undermaster.
Would you ever consider coming back here as a headmaster, ever? If the opportunity arrives?
I, of course, wouldn't rule it out, but it's not my immediate game plan.
No? Where to go? Yeah. So... Manchester, how do you think that Manchester compares to, you know, your, how do you think Manchester compares to here?
As a school or as a city?
Both. Let's start with the school.
As a school, well, obviously I was a pupil there. At that time it was...
Is that going to influence your
extremely
leadership,
academic? Will it?
I'm used to be.
I'm sure in a small way. I'm trying very much to forget about the school it was, because I think it would be a bit unfair of me to go into to a new school with predetermined ideas about what the school is. And it will have changed. All schools have changed in the last 20 or 30 years quite considerably. But it still draws the brightest boys from across the north of England. I mean, a huge catchment area. So boys travelling from as far away as Sheffield to go to the school. So it's got the raw talent there. And I think the key for me is to ensure that they make the most of it whilst they're there. And I think that's something it really has in common with Westminster.
Another part of your life here has been, you've become more and more heavily involved with the Abbey and the collegiate body here. Is that something you're going to miss when you move up north?
It's funny, over the last sort of few weeks while I've been thinking about leaving, that's something I've realised I'll greatly miss, actually. It wasn't something I'd necessarily expected, that the Abbey part would be such a fun part of the job. But in my first year in the job as Undermaster, I met President Barack Obama, the Pope, and attended a royal wedding. Those are quite interesting opportunities to be put in front of you, particularly when you go into a job as a teacher. They're not the sorts of things you think you'll end up doing. So I've really, really enjoyed the connections with the Abbey. Some wonderful people to work with. And, I mean, it's an incredible place to be.
Is there an equivalent of that? Will you have the equivalent of that sort of connections up in Manchester? Or is that, do you think, unique to this area and this school?
Yeah, I mean, nothing's going to quite compare with Westminster Abbey. The origins of Manchester Grammar School are fairly similar. It was founded in 1515 by Hugh Oldham, who was Bishop of Exeter. There is a stall in Manchester Cathedral for the Undermaster there and their headmaster, with the same titles, Archidiodasculus and Hypodiodasculus, above the stalls. So that was quite a nice little link that I'd found on going back up there. It probably has much smaller links there than this does now, because the school moved its site in the 1930s, so it's further out of town than its original position next to the cathedral.
And you also, whilst here, you led the international applications for universities and the American applications for quite some time. How do you feel that pupils in the future, how do you think there's going to be a shift in balance between the number of English pupils moving abroad to study and compared to Oxbridge numbers? And
I mean, certainly when I took that job on, which was probably eight years ago now, it was something I was quite proud of. I'd happened to have five pupils who had American parents 1 year in the house. This was in the days where all the American applications had to be written by hand on paper. So I ended up writing something like 30 or 40 application papers to US universities, and learnt a great deal in that process. So thereafter, it seemed sensible that I would use that knowledge and spread it more widely, and spent quite a lot of time working out how to better prepare pupils for going to the States. I've now passed that on to other people who've made it very much their own, and it's really, you know, quite a remarkable setup we've got here for that now. I think it's going to continue to be more popular. I think the introduction of tuition fees for universities in the UK has meant that the financial impact of going to the States probably isn't as big a factor anymore. There's financial aid for families who would struggle with the fees, providing they're academically strong. So I think a lot of our pupils will see that accessing the good American universities as being something that they'd be interested in. I mean, I think the key change that's happened in the sort of time I've been involved in that is that we're, rather than pupils just applying to Harvard, Yale and Princeton, they're seeing a much wider range of universities. And the visits we've taken to universities like Swarthmore, Penn, have Columbia, have meant that we've got a much wider application base than what would have been the case 10 years ago, where it would have been very much confined to three or four universities.
What do you think the most controversial part of your time as undermaster has been?
Oh, I hope none of it's been controversial.
Well, I mean, recently we had this whole fiasco with the auction scandal and that sort of thing. Do you think that was hard for the school to deal with, or have you had, you know, what's been the most testing part of your job as undermaster?
I think certainly the most testing bits are the bits that people don't see. So it's some of the serious disciplinary matters with pupils. Sometimes dealing with staff can be quite tricky. But they're things that we do behind the scenes that if we do it right, nobody really knows about what's gone on. And I think if we do our job well, the school runs very smoothly without actually anybody being aware of that. So probably some of those more controversial matters would fall into that category. And with regard to the recent auction, I mean, I think quite a lot was made of that because it was a press article, because of Nick Clegg's association with the school, and because of comments he'd made about internships. I mean, they weren't true internships. And it was certainly the case that at the present time it's a standard fundraising technique, so lots of other charities do use that. But I think it's the sensitivity of the political nature of the school, and particularly the fact that members of the cabinet came here and were very vocal about that, that really turned that into a news story. I think it's a shame. The press missed quite a few bits out, and one of the key things is that for those internships we asked for an extra place to be given for each internship, which would then be given to a local partner school, one of the state sector schools that we work with. And I've just had a list of four students who've been offered those from one of the local schools. So that had been thought through, but the press, obviously they want to run the story, so they concentrated very much on one aspect.
How do you think Westminster influences its wider community as a school?
I mean, that's something that's really changed in the past three or four years, really. The involvement in civic engagement, which was first floated 4 or 5 years ago, that it should become a much bigger part of the school. There's always been some involvement in the community, Westminster House being one good example. And there'd always been links with the Pullman Centre. But this growth of civic engagement, which now has, you know, almost a quarter to a third of the school at any one time involved. Now, certainly I think the hope is that every student during their time in Westminster will be involved in some way. Something that I think when it was first suggested, we didn't really see how big an impact that would have. And that's all credit to the students, really, who've seen it happening and then taken on those placements themselves. And really, the school were, in a sense, playing a bit of catch-up to try and provide all the placements that were being demanded by pupils. That's been a really, really good thing to see. I think it's right that we're involved with our community and not just living in this little academic bubble in the centre of Westminster. So, yeah, that's been a really, you know, really positive change.
How do you think the school's partnership with the Harris Federation is going to improve that, or do you think it will improve that?
Yeah, I'm quite excited about that, and I'll be certainly watching with interest from afar. I think we, as a school, have some real skills in teaching very bright children. And I think if we can link up and make that available more widely, and particularly make it available to pupils who wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity due to financial reasons to be able to access an education at Westminster. So I think it's good if we can share that expertise and best practice. I think it's the right kind of link up for Westminster. I know other projects had been suggested, but none of them really worked in quite the same way as a sixth form that's really aimed at the bright pupils and giving them access to the very best universities.
And I think, what is the one thing you're going to miss most about Westminster? You know, you said the classroom environment, but is there one specific event that, you know, really stands out in your mind about your time at Westminster, or one thing that you think, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that I'm never going to have again?
I suppose the once-in-a-lifetime events have been the ones with the Abbey, the Royal Wedding, meeting the Royal Family recently on the 60th anniversary of the coronation. Those things are things that won't really probably crop up in my life again. But I don't think they'll be the kind of key things. I think it really will be the experience in the classroom that will be the thing I remember most.
And you've really enjoyed your time here?
It's been brilliant. It's been such a rewarding career. And if I think that the reason I left Arthur Anderson all that time ago was because I wanted a bit more stimulation intellectually, that certainly has happened.
I think we'll leave it there. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Thank you, James.